Comedy Ball.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one, and there, y'all elitists are dumb.
Ask anyone who knows me. They'll tell you. I don't believe in belittling people.
You elitist with your geography and your maps.
Your reading.
Yeah, you're reading.
One of my guests said something that made me laugh. And while in the moment, I found that joke humorous.
Funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
All those lines on the map.
No, it's good, sorry. Rick, that was a good one. I needed that.
Just to make this perfectly clear, I was laughing at the joke and not at any group of people.
Are you laughing with me? Because I'm not laughing.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
And if you look to the words from the past, they were right then and they're right now.
There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment supported by one of our major political parties and opposed by the other.
Future presidents will face election, then litigation, then impeachment.
My fear is that when a Republican wins the White House, Democrats will demand payback.
You were right. But I'm sorry to say you are also prophetic.
I'm not sure it's going to change many votes, but I thought it was an effective set of zingers.
Unchained and unstoppable.
For me, it has to be demonstrated that whoever I pick is capable of needing to be president, because I'm an old guy. No, I'm serious. I work out every morning, but you never know.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
You particularly never know if you've lost your mind and you can't remember what happened yesterday, let alone what state you're in or what century you're in, which he seems to have a problem with. Anyway, 844-500-4242. I think one of the things Joe Biden has talked about now, just joining with everybody else, is getting rid of ICE, getting rid of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, if he's not promoting it, he will be next week if he continues to slip in the polls. Bernie Sanders is supporting the abolition of ICE, and his surrogate now that he's stuck in Washington is AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's running around demanding the end of ICE. And Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian, is also on board. It's just ridiculous. Meanwhile, ICE continues to do yeoman's work trying to make the country as safe as possible, given the insane immigration policies of the last 50 or 60 years. Today, ICE in Boston has removed a Brazilian four-time deportee who was wanted for attempted murder in his home country. This is a case, the guy was arrested a couple months ago, but he's been hanging around here. Joining us now on the line to discuss this case and others is Todd Lyons. He's the acting field office director for ICE's immigration and removal operations in Boston. Todd, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks, Howie, for having me back.
So tell us about this guy. His name is Simeão Marcos de Oliveira Neto. What's the story? Yeah, what's the story with this guy?
Well, I mean, that's a prime example of someone that's attracted to our state because of the sanctuary policies that elected officials put on us. You know, here's someone that's been removed from the country four times, that was hiding out in Plymouth, of all places, right? So you have someone on the South Shore, wanted for attempted murder and illegal weapons in his home country, came into the country last time using a minor child that wasn't his, and trying to claim asylum, but then never showed up for anything. So it's someone that just, you know, found his way here to Massachusetts that, you know, committed heinous violent crimes in his own country, yet, you know, people like you named in the beginning of your opening, they want to abolish what, you know, my folks do. And this is the work that keeps the state safe.
Where did he get this kid from, and what happened to the kid?
No, this was back in 2016.
Yeah,
and that's one of we've talked before. This is one of those cases where we see so many juvenile foreign-born children that are recycled through the human trafficking underbelly of the Southwest border that we're trying to combat, but we're having more and more cases like this where our hands are tied that, it doesn't affect this person, but it affects, the family of that child, the child itself. It affects people in Plymouth. It affects people in Massachusetts. Here's someone that's a legit public safety threat, yet you are saying that my officers are spreading fear throughout the Commonwealth.
Well, I mean, so what happened to this kid? I mean, is the kid still around? Was he in the custody of this guy, or did they just discard him once he got the hearing, which he blew off?
Well, Howie, to that point, this is one of the cases that our director constantly brings up, is the fact that once a lot of these children come in that aren't a part of the nexus of a true family unit, we don't know what happens to them. Happened, 2016, before we did a lot of the intensive DNA screening, a lot of the real family tree origins that we do now to prevent this. The real tragedy is a lot of the stuff that had been occurring, from 2014 to 2016, which really, no one took a really interest in, but now is seen as we're being treating people disrespectful or inhumanely across down the Southwest border.
Wow, so this kid has just vanished, I guess, is what you're saying. He's just, he's gone.
Well, it's just kind of like this guy right here. I mean, if you think about it, he pretty much vanished and blended right into, the community
right.
of Plymouth. Without, Interpol and without, the hard work of my folks getting down there and, mm-hmm. Trying to locate this guy, he would still be going day to day about his business. A wanted murderer living next door to you that, with the laws the state puts on us, we can't remove.
Yeah, and what are the odds if that he's going to someday turn up back in Plymouth? Again, America's hometown, as they call it. A murderer from Brazil.
Well, the good thing is that the Brazilian government was happy to get this guy back. So he'll hopefully do time down there. But, today, the same day. We removed another person, a human rights war crime violator, who was convicted for human rights and crimes for raping over 200 indigenous women in Guatemala, who was in WALFAM. So between the work of Homeland Security investigations and my folks with enforcement removal operations, we were able to remove a war criminal. So that's two huge public safety threats that were walking around the streets of Massachusetts. That, we have elected officials that want to block the work of ICE.
Wow. And sometimes, people think, well, this is just a problem in Suffolk County or in the inner cities. But, I mean, again, Plymouth and Waltham, I mean, these are, this is not Boston. This is a ways out from the city. And these criminals were just hiding in plain sight. And you guys, I'm glad you picked them up. I just Taylor sent me some of the latest press releases from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston. A Brazilian national pleaded guilty today in federal court to producing a false identification document, aiding and abetting and social security fraud. This is a Brazilian illegal from Framingham. Let's see here. Dominican national pleads guilty to identity theft and stealing mass health benefits. Stop me if you've heard this one before. A Dominican national formerly residing in Lawrence of all places, pleaded guilty to social security and benefit fraud. He applied for and received nearly $3,500 worth of mass health benefits in a U.S. citizen's name, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Dominican national charged with aggravated identity theft. Dominican national sentenced for identity theft, previously ordered, deported, never left, but assumed identity of a U.S. citizen born in Puerto Rico. Is there any effort by the state government to end this practice of stealing Puerto Rican citizens' birth certificates, identities, and then getting a Massachusetts driver's license, and it's off to the races with all kinds of welfare benefits. Are they doing any kind of crackdown on this this welfare fraud abuse that's going on, Todd?
Well, Howie, one thing that we hear a lot from a lot of local agencies is the fact that, you know, they'll assist ICE with crimes of violence. What people don't realize is, you know, stealing a U.S. citizen's identity and, you know, adopting that identity, ruining their credit, you know, their livelihood, you know, that's a felony right. in itself, whether or not it's a crime of violence or not. So one thing that's very hard for us, and especially with some of the decisions made in the state, especially with what we've talked about in the past with the Lund decision, is, you know, here we have a local agency that arrests someone, fingerprints someone. They know that that state ID that that person has is fraudulent, fake, not the right person. We tell them, but yet it's, sorry, we let them go. So at some point, you know, local law enforcement needs to be able to help us combat those problems. Because if they keep the hands of the local cops tied, that we're just going to have repeated, you know, cases like you just read. And luckily, we have a great U.S. attorney here in Massachusetts that's willing to prosecute those cases.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes when they're let go, I mean, you have these terrible cases like the one in New York City where the 21-year-old Guyanese killed a U.S. citizen, 92 years old, raped and murdered her. And he should have been out of the country. You guys tried to pick him up in, I think, November after he beat up his father, and the New York City authorities let him go. And an American citizen ends up dead. And this isn't the first time it's ever happened, obviously, unfortunately.
No, and you know, it's the bad thing is that's a constant around the nation today. You know, today, just alone, there was a story locally in WBUR that now attorneys are complaining on with the new stale bail reform that now the new forms require the person that's posting bail or accepting that individual to put the last four digits of their social security number or their date of birth. And they're saying that's making people afraid.
That's onerous? That's too much to ask? Oh, my goodness.
But yet, you know, if you read farther in the article, the state wrote that, you know, the bail offices will still accept the form if people don't want to give their information. So at what point are we just going to create a total exempted class
right.
of criminals pretty much in the state?
It's like with the registry, with the X registrations, right? You don't have to provide it. You don't have to. You just go down and you just say X. I'm not gonna provide that information. It's for somebody else. And they just rubber stamp it and you go on your way, and load up the car with fentanyl.
Well, and you see a lot of these green light laws throughout the state now, like New York, where illegals are getting driver's licenses. Yet that might be fine, but they're blocking federal agencies from seeing that information. So if you were stopped tonight driving home, the information on your driver's license would be accessible to law enforcement. If an illegal or someone foreign-born is stopped and they have this license that was issued because they're illegal, law enforcement can't see their identity or can't get any information.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have we heard over the last few days from the Democrats on Capitol Hill, no man is above the law? Well, if you're an illegal alien, I beg to disagree. You know, it's the way things are going. Hey, Todd Lyons, the acting field office director for ICE's enforcement and removal operations in Boston, thanks for being with us again. We got more to discuss on this issue when we come back. There's an amazing case out of New York today. You're not going to believe this one. This is bail reform and illegal aliens. All combined into one. Thanks, Todd. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but with Roman now it can be. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the privacy of your own home. No awkward visits to pharmacy or physician. Go to GetRoman.com/Howie to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Does John Bolton have information relevant to the impeachment trial?
No, but he does have information relevant to allegedly chasing a woman through the halls of a Moscow hotel and claiming she's a lesbian and overweight because he wants to get in. Well, you know what he wants to get.
Did she come back and say, this is the room where it happened?
She was a subsource, as they say in the Inspector General's report for Christopher Steele.
7% say he does have information relevant for the impeachment trial.
Yeah, will you tweet that out for me, Taylor? That story from the Daily Mail
about
John Bolton. Okay, good. I'm glad. I want to share. Let's share that with our low info friends. Okay, listen to this one. This is a good one. Tweet this one out, too, Taylor. This is from the New York Post, just posted a couple hours ago. 6 suspected drug dealers who were accused of running a $7 million fentanyl distribution operation out of a Bronx apartment were arrested without bail under the state's new criminal justice law early today. The suspects, Levo Valdez, Haslan Baldetta, Frederick Baldetta, Flandi Ledima, Diego Tejada, and Parframi Antonio were arrested Monday when officers with the New York Drug Enforcement Task Force raided an apartment on Sedgwick Avenue in Kingsbridge, which was allegedly used as a heroin and fentanyl packaging mill. Okay? Seems like a serious charge, $7 million worth of heroin and fentanyl. The officers on the task force entered the apartment and saw the 6 suspects bundling powder-filled glassine envelopes stamped with the word fire, the special narcotics prosecutor said in a press release. Hundreds of thousands of the envelopes packed with the powder were spread across 2 tables and overflowing from boxes in the apartment. The drugs were believed to be headed onto the streets of New York and New England, the prosecutor's office said. Lab tests on the drugs are pending this afternoon. Despite the volume of drugs seized, all 6 suspects were cut loose at their arraignments in Manhattan Criminal Court this morning. Everything free in America. None of the defendants are eligible for bail under the new Democrat law. The judge ordered the men to turn over their passports, as a number of them have, wait for it, connections to the Dominican Republic. They're all due back in court February 27th. What are the odds any of them are going to show up for their next appearances in court? Turn over their passports. Supporters in court early Wednesday waved their hands in celebration as the 6 suspects walked out. You know, everything free in America, it has even more meaning now than it did before January 1st and the new bail laws. Everything free, there's no more bail in New York. $6 million, $7 million worth of fentanyl and heroin. No bail, no bail. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number from the Howie Carr Show. Stevie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Stevie.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, you were talking to Todd Lyons a little while back, and, you know, ICE is doing an admirable job trying to protect our country.
Yes, they are.
But then we got a Democratic governor letting another goose stepper pay back a couple of bucks, multiple felonies. So where do we draw the line? And he gets a huge pension, McKeon, all of them. So how do we protect the country with all the scammers and the theft and felonies?
Well, you're talking about those state police pensions, but I mean those guys haven't been committed. Those guys haven't been convicted of any crimes. I mean they presided over all these scandals, and then they just walked out the door, and they were allowed to keep their pensions. It's pretty outrageous, isn't it? These pensions that they're giving out to all these people. You know, I mean they even the ones that aren't involved in scandals. I mean why is a college president getting a $175,000 pension and walking away with over $300,000 in unused sick and vacation time, Stevie?
Because we don't get to vote them in. They're all appointed. They're all buddies with each other. There should be, you know what I mean? We don't get to vote in these people. I mean, the only upstanding person I can think of in the judiciary is Shelley Joseph. I mean, she's an...
please. Yeah, she's getting, you know, they always say too, I always love it too when they say, well, you know, I'm willing to take a pay cut because I want to give something back to public service. A pay cut, $184,000 a year. And then she gets in and they suspend her because she's been indicted by the feds for letting the illegal alien career criminal Dominican drug dealer out the back door of the Newton District Courthouse. And she said, oh, I'm going broke. You've got to keep paying me. I haven't been convicted yet. I mean, wait a second. I thought all these people, she used to be on the Democrat State Committee, this Shelley Joseph. I mean, I thought she had tons of money. I thought she was making a sacrifice for public service. It's just such a joke. And by the way, today Tal Duvall nominated somebody for a district court judgeship, a clerk magistrate job in Worcester County. Guess what? Contributed over about $1,000 to Tal Duvall and Karen Polito, and then being from Worcester County, he's also given tons of money to the bust-out ex-lieutenant governor, Tim Crash Murray. It's business as usual for the Hackorama. Thanks for the call, Stevie. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. I'll get into that in the next few days. The guy's name is Damian Riddle. It's kind of a weird name. Damian Riddle.
Sounds like a Harry Potter character.
Well, when this goes through, he's going to be about as rich as J.K. Rowling. You know, he's going to be making big bucks as a clerk magistrate. He's been giving money to various hack politicians since 2002. Took him 18 years, but he finally died and went to heaven, as they say at the State House. He's going to be a clerk. He's going to be the next clerk magistrate.
At least that's a longer nationwide search than usual since 2002.
As soon as I saw him giving money, I look it up today on OCPF, Office of Campaign and Political Finance. I saw Karen Polito pops up, and then I immediately knew that it's always a daily double with Karen Polito. The other one is Crash Murray, her predecessor from Worcester County, like her, as the lieutenant governor. And you know what? Karen Polito has as much chance of being governor as Crash Murray does, which is to say zero. 844-500-4242. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Howie, I just want to weigh in that I attended the March for Life in Washington on Friday.
Yes.
And, that was my 14th march. I've been going since 1978 when my Mass Citizens for Life group would go to the likes of Ted Kennedy and we'd bring a medical doctor and he would, of course, thought he was the smartest guy in the room and would call it a fetus and think he could just blow us away. But how refreshing to have President Trump address the crowd and note things like there have been 60 million abortions since 73. That's the population of Italy.
Yeah, no, I know, Mark. And you know, people say, well, you know, he was a runaround guy when he was younger and all this stuff. But, you know, can't people have a change of heart, Mark? I mean, I believe he's sincere in being pro-life, don't you?
Howie, I got to tell you, I drove this young lady from my parish in Keene down to Springfield, or Chicopee, Mass, as it was, St. Stanislaus. We caught the bus, about 100 people. And I was telling her about Saul and Saint Paul in the Bible. Saul used to persecute Christians and he converted to Saint Paul. And did you know, I made an analogy to Trump, and the next day the readings in church were Saul and Paul. So I know I've nailed it.
That's good, Mark. I'm glad you went down there. Thanks for the call. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
So I guess we have some Republicans that might be voting to call witnesses. But here's the question I have. They're going to have like some kind of a second vote or something to figure out which witnesses are they going to get called. And how far will these Republicans go to try to stick it to Trump by not letting him call people that he wants to call?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know how they make the decision on which witnesses are going to be called. You know, who makes that decision? I mean, they have to. We do have a Sixth Amendment in the United States. I know this isn't a criminal trial, but you know, don't you have a right to confront your accusers, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely you do. But the other problem, too, is, I mean, don't forget, these Republican renegades, they're going to be siding with the Democrat minority. And God only knows what kind of insane things they're going to want as far as rules for witnesses.
Well, Steve, you know that whatever Bolton says, they're going to claim that his testimony has introduced new lines of evidence, and we're going to need to continue calling more witnesses. You heard Nadler earlier today. He can't even remember the names of guys he served in Congress with, like Mick Mulvaney. He was calling him Dunleavy. And so they're going to want to call Mick Mulvaney, and then they're going to want to call Mick Dunleavy, you know, and they'll just keep going on. They want to just keep this thing going through the election just to try to dust up Trump and just keep looking. It's a fishing expedition. That's all this is. And when Chuck Schumer says he's only interested in getting the truth, you know, he's only interested in getting not the truth. Whatever he says, it's the opposite. Anything. And that goes for Pelosi and Nadler and Schiff, Lofgren, all the rest of these hacks that the Democrats are putting forward. Just a really despicable crew. Thanks for the call, Steve. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, good afternoon, Howie. How are you?
Good.
Good. Howie, I just wanted to mention something about the state retirements that you've never brought up. When you're a state retiree, you have the A, B, and C plan. I'm not exactly sure if you're familiar with that.
No, tell me about it.
Okay, so basically in a nutshell, if you take A, whatever your retirement is, you get that entire amount and it's done. If you take B, you get a smaller percentage, but once you pass on, your beneficiary can get that.
Right. If you're married, I think you have to take the plan where the beneficiary gets the money, right?
No, you don't, Howie. But the thing is, here's option C. This is something that's very interesting that you should actually look into. And it's absolutely true because I know it for a fact because I have friends who actually have it. If you take option C, say for example, Howie, you retired now, you're 65 from University of whatever, and all of a sudden you have a grandchild that's say like 4 or 5.
Yeah,
that child can be your beneficiary. So the day you pass on, they're collecting a portion of that of your retirement for the rest of their lives.
I didn't know about that. That's a new one on me. Joe, thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. I think a lot of, you know, these. I did some research on when the state police seemed to be getting convicted of felonies, even if they weren't doing time or just getting time served, whatever that meant. And they weren't losing their pensions. And the state retirement board wouldn't confirm it for me, but I think what happens sometimes is that these people are getting some of these crooked state cops are getting pensions and they're divorced from their spouses, their previous spouses, and the spouse is collecting part of the pension, and then the spouse is trying to keep the money coming. In one case, it was 6 months before they could. They don't take away your pension when you're convicted. They take away your pension after you've been sentenced. But in one case, there was that I was investigating. They didn't take away a pension for about 6 months after the sentencing, and I think it was because a spouse was complaining about it. The other way you can keep your pension, and this guy DeYoung is doing it. He's the one who said, you busted me, and I'm done. But I'll give you more of my superiors in the old Troop E, which is now disbanded. These are the ones that were running the embezzling ring for overtime. They didn't perform. And he said, I'll give you the names of all the other people above me, more than a dozen other state troopers. I'll be glad to testify about and give you the emails and all that, the evidence to convict them. And he was negotiating basically a plea bargain with the prosecutors, and so he didn't get sentenced until next week, and so he continued to draw the pension probably for close to a year, that guy. And so I know he's going to lose the pension and he's going to have to testify and it'll probably be pretty embarrassing, but he did get an extra, I don't know, 8-10 months, maybe a year's worth of pension payments before he's going to lose it. So he'll be sentenced Tuesday, and then I assume that the retirement board will move against him, and he'll lose the pension. 844-500-4242. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, Howie, did you see that film footage of the aerial shots of the Trump rally last night?
Yes, I did. It looked like Woodstock, Peter, didn't it? Winter Woodstock.
I got a great idea for a Trump ad. They should superimpose those film footage with the caravans coming out of Central America for a Trump slogan for his new campaign. Choose your caravan, Trump caravan or a Democrat caravan.
You know what? That's pretty good, Peter. I don't know that the Republicans would make that an official ad, but that would be a good meme on the internet for sure. That would be a great YouTube video. Do we have something about that? We have a cut from somebody talking about how big the here it is. Here's Trump talking about the rally last night. Cut 31.
If another candidate has 1,000 people, they say he spoke to a massive crowd. If they have 10,000, like Pocahontas went into Central Park in New York, and this young man in the front row could have 10,000 people, you know that, in Central Park. So she had 10,000 people, like in Central Park. And I said, what's the big deal? They made it, the crowds are so large.
And he's going to be in Manchester on February 10th, Monday night before the New Hampshire primary. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
While we are creating jobs and killing terrorists, the congressional Democrats are obsessed with demented hoaxes, crazy witch hunts, and deranged partisan crusades. It's all they know how to do.
844-500-4242. I was just looking at the running story on Breitbart about the ongoing questions in the Senate trial. Very boring. I didn't see anything really worth repeating. I think I'm going to tell you now about a story. This is like you would expect this in the Babylon Bee. I don't know how the Babylon Bee competes with the mainstream media these days. This is from the Boston Globe. I think this is a story that's going to be in the Globe magazine on Sunday. Driving in Boston as a man after my gender transition. If you weren't paying close attention, you may have missed. Driving in Boston as a man after my gender transition by someone named P. Carl. These days, I drive like my dad because driving in Boston has turned me into a macho lunatic. I guess P. Carl is taking testosterone injections or whatever. For most of my driving life, I was merely a screaming and impatient petite woman in the eyes of angry male drivers, bikers, and pedestrians. I posed no threat to them. That was before my gender transition. So again, this is the Boston Globe. This is not a parody. Driving as a man in Boston traffic, I am now fair game for a fight. But I also feel a magnetic pull towards these displays of toxic white masculinity. Notice that, not toxic masculinity, toxic white masculinity.
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
How can I avoid what I call the Kavanaugh face? Somehow Kavanaugh's been dragged into this. Scrunched nose, twisted lips, flushed cheeks, and spittle forming at the tongue. The face of a man who feels victimized for being held accountable for his own aggression. I would say if there is indeed such a thing as the Kavanaugh face, it's the face of a man who feels victimized by false allegations against him. P. Carl. So she becomes a he, and now he... The problem is, I've never been angrier. He, the she that is now a he, says, after living as a white woman for almost 50 years, I finally see the privileges I had been missing out on. I can now, with some distance, feel more viscerally how badly men treat women.
50 years?
Yes.
That is very late in life to be transitioning.
Well, listen, now it gets even more preposterous here. On a warm October morning, I'm halfway to work when it happens. I see a 20-something white guy on a bike to my right. And she gets treated shabbily by a white, not a bike rider, by a white bike rider. Does she think that maybe it doesn't have anything to do with the gender? It's as much as the fact that he or she is riding a bike? That makes them behave in a rather obnoxious manner. As I pass him, he puts out his left arm to signal a turn. The next thing I know, I'm at a stoplight, and he is pounding his fists on my car windows and screaming in my face.
Something's never changed.
I know. What is there? He's a bike rider. It's not that he's a male. It's that he's a bike rider. That's what's driven him crazy. I hadn't come close to hitting him, but a white man's rage doesn't need logic. It just needs an outlet. I didn't solve the problem of unjustified white male rage. I'm just another angry white man. I'm Howie Carr. 10%.